This week on Vaticano, join us for the first Jubilee event of the Holy Year, the Jubilee of the World of Communications. Enjoy a special interview with Andrea Tornielli, Editorial Director of the Vatican Dicastery for Communication, as he shares how the Jubilee provides Catholic communicators with a unique opportunity to spread the good news. Plus, discover how a Rome-based artist is revitalizing Baroque sacred traditions in the Eternal City's churches. For this and more, Vaticano starts now. Hundreds of teenagers and children gathered at Chiesa Nuova, the Church of St. Philip Neri, patron of youth and joy, with one united purpose: to pray for peace.
Regalateci la pace, ce la regalate la pace, che dite?
Sì. Their voices rose from quiet prayer to joyful chants as they took to the streets declaring peace now and the only bombs we want are those filled with chocolate. The event, organized by Azione Cattolica, Catholic Action, of Rome, marks the start of a year-long journey of faith for young people, prepared by the Church.
The Peace Caravan is an event that is lived not only on this day, but we, in all the parishes of Rome, we have been preparing for a month.
As preparations for the Jubilee of Teenagers intensify, local families are opening their homes to host the visiting pilgrims, who will come for the events. The Peace Caravan made its way through Rome's iconic landmarks, crossing Ponte Sant'Angelo en route to St. Peter's Square. But the journey wasn't without challenges. Symbolizing the struggles for peace, the young participants ran through obstacles, a reminder that peace must be earned. Upon reaching St. Peter's, the celebration continued with an open-air concert under Pope Francis's office window, filling the Vatican with music, young voices, and shouts of joy.
Be committed every day to keeping peace even with the people closest to you, so that it can then spread throughout the world.
The highlight of the day: two children popped up at the window of the Apostolic Palace, delivering a message of peace together with Pope Francis.
This morning in the square together, we, the boys and girls of Azione Cattolica, strongly made our desire for peace. How beautiful it would be if the greats of the world also passed through the holy door in hand. It is a dream, yes, but we believe in it so much.
Now, he said a very beautiful word.
So that they might silence their weapons.
Good job.
And this is just the beginning. In the coming days, the Vatican will host its first ever Children's Rights Conference. And during the special Jubilee for Teens at the end of April, the Pope will canonize the first millennial saint, Carlo Acutis. And we will celebrate the Jubilee for Young People at the end of July.
In this week of prayer for Christian unity, we can also draw from the anniversary of the Council of Nicaea a call to persevere in the journey towards unity. This year, the celebration of Easter coincides in both the Gregorian and Julian calendars, a circumstance that proves providential as we commemorate the anniversary of the Ecumenical Council. I renew my appeal that this coincidence may serve as an appeal to all Christians to take a decisive step forward towards unity.
Speaking at the conclusion of the 58th week of prayer for Christian unity, Pope Francis reflected on Christ's encounter with Martha after Lazarus' death, emphasizing that hope rises from the ashes of death. The celebration on January the 25th marked the solemn conclusion of this year's week of prayer for Christian unity. which the Pope linked to the ongoing Jubilee year.
This message of hope is at the heart of the Jubilee we have begun. The Apostle Paul, whose conversion to Christ we commemorate today, declared to the Christians of Rome, "Hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us."
At the Vespers service, the Pope noted that this whole Jubilee year's focus is on hope and providentially coincides with the 1,700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. This hope for unity has gained momentum in recent months. Last November, Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew of Constantinople confirmed ongoing conversations between church representatives about establishing a common Easter date, potentially beginning in 2025.
Welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from the Holy Father and the Vatican. The Vatican has released a document addressing artificial intelligence. It offers guidelines to ensure that the AI development serves humanity and upholds human dignity. In its document, the Dicastery for the Doctrine of Faith mentioned the positive aspects of new technology, but also warned of negative ones, especially AI-powered weapon systems and data collection. And just recently, Pope Francis also remarked that he's more concerned about the development of human intelligence than artificial one. On January the 27th, the world marked the 80th anniversary of Auschwitz liberation, the infamous Nazi concentration camp in Poland. People globally commemorated the victims of the Nazi regime, including holy men and women who died as Catholic martyrs, such as Sister Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, of course Edith Stein, and Polish priest Maximilian Kolbe. In a recent statement, Pope Francis emphasized the horror of the extermination of millions of Jewish people and others of different faith during those years must never be forgotten or denied. A representative survey found that Pope Francis is the most trusted public figure in Italy, with 76% expressing confidence in his leadership. Additionally, two-thirds of Italians describe his magisterium as consistently advocating for peace and fraternity while firmly opposing war. Pope Francis sent Cardinal Claudio Guttarotti, prefect of the Dicastery for the Eastern Churches, to Syria to extend the Pope's embrace and blessing to Catholics. On January the 8th, following a swift offensive, Syrian rebel forces led by the jihadist group Hayat Tahrir al-Sham and their allies announced the fall of President Bashar al-Assad's regime. Pope Francis has called for the rebuilding of a peaceful country, ensuring prosperity by all its components while respecting freedom, the dignity of the human person, and diversity. In his message for this year's World Day of the Sick, Pope Francis emphasized that suffering can be an occasion for a transformative encounter with God. He highlighted presence, gift, and sharing as profound path of providential companionship during difficult times. Addressing those who are ill or who care for the suffering, he said, "Your journey together is a sign for everyone, a hymn to human dignity, a song of hope." As always, thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. Andreas Stonehauser for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with the first Jubilee event of the year, the Jubilee of the World of Communications.
I greet the journalists and media workers who have taken part in their Jubilee in these days. I urge them to be narrators of hope. always.
Narratori de speranza.
Thousands of journalists and communicators came from around the world to participate in the first big event of the Holy Year 2025, the Jubilee of the World of Communications. Hope is the recurring theme in Pope Francis's pontificate.
It's an opportunity to grow in our hope, in our faith, and in our love for the Church.
Jubilee of Hope for me means really looking towards the future. How can we better convey our message of hope to the world?
The Jubilee year is a real good opportunity to meet Jesus, to rediscover our faith, no? No. To go to the essence of our Christianity.
The Pope intended to remind everyone of the power and responsibility that media holds. But the whole Holy Year, the Jubilee, bears the motto, Pilgrims of Hope.
Autorevolezza.
Also, Archbishop Rino Fisichella reminds us that media professionals have a delicate task. The main organizer of the Jubilee 2025 is pleased that the first big event of the Holy Year is focused on communication.
But first of all, I would say communication should not be in a hurry. I understand that times have changed, but communication needs reflection. It needs research. It also needs to be substantiated. And so where, above all, people are involved more than the issues, then communication needs to feel the deep responsibility it possesses.
In the immediate run-up to this Jubilee of the World of Communications, several events and conferences invited journalists to reflect on their role and tasks.
Because you didn't know how many people were going to church?
The EWTN-sponsored professional seminar, Communication and Evangelization, gathered more than 600 communicators from more than 100 countries at the Pontifical University of the Holy Cross in Rome.
It's a very simple message. It's Mother Angelica's message, which is, get me one of those. Go out there and be on every platform. The digital continent needs for us to engage confidently and to share the message of our Lord with everyone, everywhere we can.
The core of this professional seminar for church communicators is precisely that of the Jubilee. The Jubilee asks us for conversion. And the title of the seminar is called Communication and Evangelization, because there is no real conversion without encountering the Word of God.
On Saturday, after the attending journalists had crossed the Holy Door into St. Peter's Basilica, Pope Francis invited them into Paul VI Hall in the Vatican. Instead of reading his prepared speech, he made very brief, off-the-cuff remarks. He reminded the journalists to remain anchored in the truth.
Saper comunicare è una grande saggezza.
Knowing how to communicate is great wisdom. I am glad for this Jubilee of communicators. Your work is work that builds. It builds society, builds the church. It keeps everyone going, as long as it is true. Father, but I always say the true things, but are you true? Not just the things you say, but are you in your interior, in your life, true?
Nel tuo interiore, nella tua vita, sei vero.
The Jubilee of the World of Communications ended with a festive Holy Mass in St. Peter's Basilica on the sixth Sunday of the Word of God. Pope Francis established this special Sunday in 2019 to strengthen our connection with sacred scripture. He also drew the parallel with the journalists and communicators present. We are all called, he said, to be witnesses, to evangelize, and at all times. Hundreds of Catholic communicators gathered in Rome to pass through the Holy Door together, celebrating the Jubilee of the World of Communications. Andrea Tornielli, editorial director of the Vatican Dicastery for Communication, sees this as a unique opportunity for Catholic communicators to spread the good news more widely, while also strengthening the Vatican's role in global communication.
What does the communication of the Jubilee look like?
As you know, the key word of this Jubilee is hope. It's difficult to speak about hope in this time for our world, but it's important to find stories of hope. So we are going on in presenting specifically as Vatican Media, as our contribution for the Jubilee in radio, website, the newspaper Osservatore Romano and Vatican News and with our television production, more and more stories of hope.
Any future projects that you're working on right now?
We are trying to share the voice of the Pope, the Magisterio of the Pope, and the news, what is happening in the Vatican, that is our first task, obviously, in 53 different languages, with journalists that are coming from 69 different countries. But the second task for me is acting as a heart, spreading, but also receiving from the periphery, receiving from the communities, stories, news, testimonies, and to be able to reshare this in a publicly, in a more biggest public, translating this kind of news or story.
In addition to his primary responsibilities, Andrea Tornielli is a renowned religious writer. His latest book, The Life of Jesus, has been translated into multiple languages, including English, French, Spanish, and Portuguese, reaching audiences around the world.
Could you tell us a little more about your book, The Life of Jesus?
I was trying to be inside the scene of the gospel, to try to see, to smell, to see also the weather, the gesture of Jesus, the reaction of people in contact with him. So I was trying to be a reporter with my notebook, in the scene and trying to explain what is happening. And the idea was to present the entire life of Jesus chronologically using the four Gospels and the comments of the Pope and a little bit of my imagination.
How did the collaboration with Pope Francis inspire the book?
I liked the homily of Santa Marta. In those homily, the Pope was speaking not reading a prepared text, but is making a comment, few comments from his heart about the gospel. So I think that are so natural, so strong, and because of his view and his the fact that he's a Jesuit, and the imagination of the scene of the gospel is one of the teaching of St. Ignatius.
How did this process of writing the book change your view on Jesus?
First of all, I was shocked by his humanity. In him, we are looking at a real human being, and in him is possible to see which is the potential of our humanity. He is the perfect human being. Jesus.
What are the reactions of your readers? It's been out in Italian for a longer time, but now also in other languages.
I received messages so interesting, also from non-believers. They said thank you because it's a help for understanding who was Jesus.
Well, thank you so much for your time and for being with us.
Thank you.
We'll be back after a short break with an exploration of the world of the Baroque. Nestled in the center of Rome, the Baroque Church of Santissima Trinità dei Pellegrini stands out not only for its architecture, but also for its mysterious, unfinished ceiling. Unlike the typical Baroque frescoes, this space remains a blank canvas. The Baroque artist, Philippe Casanova, together with Andrea Masci and his team at Civita Mostre Musei, sought to breathe life into the ceiling, blending sacred tradition with contemporary art and technology.
San Filippo Neri è sempre stato per me un riferimento.
I was particularly interested in this church because it's one of the churches of St. Philip Neri. St. Philip Neri has always been a fundamental reference for me. Since I arrived in Rome, and since that day, I began to reflect on how I could imagine and develop a composition for this ceiling that would have a close connection with St. Philip Neri. And so I came up with the idea of depicting the pilgrimage associated with him, known as the Seven Churches Pilgrimage.
The painter sketched various stages of this pilgrimage, all of which would be represented on the ceiling. Among them, for instance, it shows the pilgrims leaving Santa Maria in Vallicella, following St. Philip Neri. They cross the Ponte Sant'Angelo Bridge and then go to St. Peter's Basilica. Above the churches, a red sail opens, which symbolizes revelation. At the center of the composition is the Holy Trinity. It's an explosion of light that invades space and the pilgrims themselves, pushing away the shadows.
I'm trying to make an iconographic proposal that is in perfect harmony with the history of this church and its spirituality. And so, this video mapping, which was done by my friends at Civita, is for me an opportunity to share this proposal, this project, and to allow people to get an idea of what kind of effect it could have.
Andrea Masci and his team transformed the static sketch into a dynamic, immersive experience, projecting the sketch on the vault of the church and combining the movements of the painting with original music created especially for this project.
The Paradisus project is an example of what we, as Civita, aim to do: bring people closer to art. So we are creating a unique experience where the pilgrim can approach content that becomes temporary, without losing the creative aspect and without diminishing the sacred essence of work.
Transforming a blank ceiling into a canvas for storytelling comprises both artistic and technical complexities.
La sfida tecnica è stata quella di dover adattare un quadro.
The technical challenge was adapting a painting that was originally a sketch, meant for a future mural on the ceiling, but not initially suited to be projected. So in addition to having to reconstruct it from a storytelling and storyboard perspective, telling the story of what happens within the painting, we also had to bring it to life.
Raccontando quello che accade nel quadro attraverso una vera e propria storia.
The message of the Paradisus project is that art, in all its forms, has the power to transcend time, place, and technology, uniting the faithful and the curious onlooker in a shared experience of revelation.